Matthew chapter 13. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to, for the last 20 plus years, to have spearheaded a program and ministry that sought to see people saved and then to teach them, like your theme this year, all is new in 22. Amen? Everything becomes new. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. You know, when you read that passage, there are three new things there mentioned that God's Word teaches us when we get saved. There are three new identities and things that you receive the moment you get saved. Number one, you get a new you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a new you on the inside. I was going to preach on that tonight, and the Lord, this afternoon, praying and thinking, I wanted to get a message in for everybody, and I'm going to expand on this a little bit more with the men later in the week, so you ladies can talk to the men and learn all about it. But the new you that's on the inside is created by God, Ephesians chapter 4 says. It's created in righteousness and holiness. I believe the new spirit part of you that God put in you when you got saved, the born again, the imputed righteousness, I believe the Bible tells us in 1 John that that spot in you is already sanctified and it cannot sin. I'm not preaching progressive sanctification in the fact that you can get to the point on this earth where you don't sin anymore. If you've got there, please let me talk to you after the service, all right? But make sure your wife is with you or your husband. Because I don't believe that. I believe that will only take place when this robe of flesh we drop and rise to meet the everlasting prize. I think until then we will have a struggle. We will have a struggle. But the moment we got saved, that old man died. That old man was removed, and God put a brand new you on the inside. He didn't just do that. He put a brand new leader in there with that you, Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's a new leader inside of you. We know that leader is also in the form of the Holy Spirit that lives, the Spirit of Christ, living inside of you and me. And then the third thing is there's a new direction. There's a brand new direction inside. The things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And some of those changes, to be honest with you, were changes because my preacher told me to do it. My parents told me to do it. It was what the culture was doing. So if I wanted to be a good Christian, I had to do what everybody else was doing. But the greatest changes in my life was not done for somebody down here, but done for the Lord. Amen. The foundation was in Him. And that always comes through His Word and through His Spirit working in you and in me. I don't have time to get into it tonight, but He also, according to the Old Testament, four times mentions that He puts a new heart inside of you. And if you study those words out about a new heart, in fact, let me read one of them to you for sake of time tonight. The Bible says in Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take out the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. So He said, I'm going to take out the stony heart, and I'm going to put a brand new heart on the inside. Now, the heart, when He says to take out there, doesn't mean He removes it. It means He, the way I look at that verse and study that Hebrew word, is that He puts it out of commission. He says, don't use that one anymore. I put police tape on that one. I barricaded that one off. Don't think that away anymore. Don't use that way of thinking anymore. I've got a brand new heart inside of you, and it's like a librarian in a library. There's somebody overseeing that new heart, and His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And He will help you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions will be centered and controlled by this new you, this new leader, this new direction as you live and dwell and remain in Him. Amen? Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are truly blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Tonight, as we studied this morning, we saw Jesus meet a woman that no doubt had hurts, a woman that no doubt had hang-ups. And He spoke to her. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life, living waters, He said to her. And she listened. She asked some questions. And He, that heart, that lady, received those words. And she was gloriously saved. She went back to the city as quickly as she could, telling everybody. By the way, those disciples had just been where she just went. She came back from where they had just ate. Wonder if any of them said anything about the Messiah. Wonder if any of them said anything about the Savior. You follow me? So tonight I want to talk to you about this heart, this soil, the Bible calls it. Take your Bible and turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, in God's holy word. Matthew, chapter number 13. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow," verse 4. "And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up." Number 2, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth." Number 3, verse 6 is number 2 still. "And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and became, because they had no root, they withered away." Number 3, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." And then number 4, "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear?" The Bible says, "Let him hear." Let's pray together, and then we'll speak on a subject tonight. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You said to us in Jeremiah 29, "The thoughts You have toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to a given expected end." Lord, You promised that if we would call upon You, Your name, "And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." How many times in the Scriptures we reminded that You will hearken unto us. You said in Psalm 34, "You are nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as a contrite spirit." Thank You that You heal the broken in heart, and You bind up their wounds. And so tonight, as we study, as we prepare to better help hurting people, and yes, someone in the room may be that person struggling, nobody knows about it, I pray You'll help us as we focus on this thing called the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, my wife and I lived in a house, and we had just not even a half acre of property, and probably a quarter acre, wasn't much at all, and surely didn't have any place to put a garden, because the sun couldn't get to, it'd have to be in the front yard, and my wife wouldn't let me put a garden in the front yard. I didn't understand that, and I like a garden that's going to get the morning sun, you know, but I just could not convince her of that. And so I planted one back by the fence, and it didn't do real well, and the next years after that, I didn't do any, and then But I grew up in a farm. I grew up in a small farm, and my dad always had tomatoes. And when I lived over on Airport Road, we had had a cow running around or two, and some chickens and things like that. And so I got some 5-gallon buckets and thought, well, I'm going to plant some tomatoes and get me some big boys and better girls and plant me some tomatoes. And I did. And we had some good tomatoes that year. And a couple of them I took out and I began to scrape the seeds out at the end of the year. And I put them on some wax papers my dad taught me years and years ago. And I stored those up. And the next year I tried to use those saved seeds, but they did not come up. And I found out through a friend that they manufacture those seeds differently than they did back then. They only have one crop, and they won't produce anymore. And if you want seeds that can reproduce themselves, you've got to go to go online, and you've got to search out those seeds, and you've got to pay good money for those seeds, because they have regened those seeds to not produce but one season, and then they don't work anymore like they used to when I was a kid. I was befuddled by that. I was dumbfounded by that. But I want to tell you, this Bible is likened to the seed, and I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. Nothing wrong. You wonder how in the world do some people get it and some people don't, and you wonder how So the two people sit in the same church and they hear the same sermons, and one gets saved and one doesn't, or maybe they both get saved and one has fruit that remains and they're bearing fruit and the other one has no fruit. And I want to clarify that there's nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Matthew 13 is a parable. Comes from two words, para, which means alongside of in the Greek, and bele, which means to lay right beside it. So it's to put something beside itself. That's what the word means. It's to lay something beside itself. It's a short story with a huge impact. Sometimes I think it was a true story. Sometimes I don't think it was a true story. I think it was just an analogy of something that Jesus was teaching as He walked and talked with the disciples. But it was definitely taking an earthly story and applying some heavenly meaning to it, right? That's what a parable is. It's taking an earthly story and applying some heavenly language or heavenly scenarios to it to help our understanding. And oftentimes Jesus will tell you, like this parable, He will tell you what's on His mind. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes another story in the Bible is the parable of the man that had two sons and one of them left. Remember that story? And the prodigal son. Early in the ministry, I preached a lot of sermons, and man, I had everything about that boy pegged, and you know, and did a lot of different points in that story. But there's only one point in that story the Lord's trying to drive home. There's only one, and He clearly says what it is. And so tonight we're going to look at what Jesus is trying to relate to us in this story, because the word that we heard this morning, the word that woman heard this morning, the word that you heard in your encounter with Jesus, and by the way, I don't think it's just one encounter. I think He wants to meet you again and again and again. Amen? I think He wants to do that through the preaching of God's Word. I think He wants to do that through your daily study of the Word of God and you taking the Word of God with you on a daily basis. And so let's look at verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. There's nothing wrong with the seed. When you read that last verse, you've got to realize that yes, one out of the four soils brought forth fruit, but there was nothing wrong with the seed. The sower went forth to sow much seed, the Bible says. And as he did, some of it leaked out on this soil and that soil and that soil, but some of it got on good soil and brought forth much fruit. The sower went forth to sow the seed. Look at verses 10 through 13 teach us that God reveals truth to everybody. He wants that truth to get to everybody. But some people, when the truth is revealed, they receive it. It's revealed to them. Okay, I got that. But for some, it's concealed. They don't get it. It makes sense to them. So sometimes it's revealed, and sometimes it's concealed. You know, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees here in this story. In fact, I want you to go back, if you will, verse 13. The Bible says in verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold. And that's what we read tonight, picking up in verse number 3. But I want you to look back in Matthew chapter number 12, verse 22 through 37. Because in that story, you know what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing? They were calling Jesus the devil. The works you're doing, not of God, they're of the devil. I want you to look at verse 38 through 50. Then certain scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. You know, that reminds me of another story in the Bible where a rich man dies. Remember, Lazarus would come and would come by and beg for the crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table? Remember that story? And Lazarus died and he went to Abraham's bosom. He was saved. The rich man died, and where did he go? He went to hell. And in hell, he lifted his eyes being in torment. And he sees Abraham afar off. And what did he say to Abraham? Oh, send Lazarus. Send that servant. Send that man that will do whatever I tell him to do. You see, he was so caught up in the culture that he didn't realize he was in a place he had no control over him or over anything anymore. Send Lazarus, they mean, dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. And Abraham says, nope, that ain't going to happen. There's a great gulf between you and him and you, and he ain't crossing over. Oh, send Lazarus, let a man raise from the dead so that he will go tell my five brethren so they can be saved. You know what that was? That was a miracle. You know what that'd be? That'd be a sign. Here comes a dead man rising from the dead, right? Surely they'll listen if you send Lazarus back. Nope. Abraham said, ain't going to happen. You know why he said it's not going to happen? Because it's not a sign that you need to be looking for and at. It's God's Word that you need to be looking for and at. It's the Word of God. There's still nothing wrong with the Word. It's amazing to me. I started preaching. I was saved in 1976. That was the bicentennial celebration. I got it right, didn't I? My wife corrected me all afternoon. She said, you're an old man. She said you got saved in the centennial celebration, you know? And she corrected me. It's bicentennial. So how many of you caught that besides my wife? Anybody? I told you they don't listen to me. I told you they don't listen to me. What was I at? I got lost. Goofing off. See what happens? I got lost. Yeah. That'll work right there. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. God's Word is powerful. God's Word changes lives. In 2022, It's not a matter of we need a different Bible and new Bibles and new versions and we need this. No, no, no. This is God's Word for the English-speaking group of people. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not going to fight over it. I'm going to fight with it. I'm going to spend my life, because we sound real foolish to people that are not even saved. We even make it harder for them. This is God's Word. Let me tell you what God said. Amen. And we don't need a question if He said it. We know He said it. This is God's Word. Let me show you what God says. Amen? And so, God's Word is powerful. God's Word still changes lives. And God changes hurting people's lives. Hebrews chapter 4 says it this way, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." It was preached to us, and it was preached to them, Hebrews writer says. "But the word preached did not profit them." The word preached did not benefit them. The word preached did not help them. The word preached did not yield for them. Not being mixed with faith when they heard it. The same two, we heard it, they heard it. But for us, it was profitable. For us, it was beneficial. For us, it yielded for us. But for them, it did none of that. Why? Because they did not mix that with faith. This morning, when I gave the plan of salvation, I made it very clear that they had to mix it with faith. You've got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. You must believe. Not only believe, but you have to receive it. You have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. You believe it. That's about Bible word. You receive it. Those are both faith. Those are both receiving of it, believing it. That's what we call faith in the Bible. Okay? And so, how is it that it profits some but doesn't profit others? Is the word profiting? Yes. Is the word changing? Yes. Does it change us? Does it transform us? Yes. Then what is the issue? The issue is the heart. And everybody's heart's different. Everybody's heart's different. There are no two hearts in this room just alike. Not any of us. But if you're in Christ, that new heart inside of you, the one that has a superintendent over it, the one that's watching over it, the one that He says, guard your heart, watch diligently over it, for out of it are the issues of life. So I'm going to give you 2 points. Number one, there's nothing wrong with the seed. And point number two, there is something wrong with the heart or the soil. And then we'll be done here tonight. God makes it clear to the sower that we are to sow the Word of God. We are to give the Word of God out. We are to have leaky seed baskets. And we need to get the Word out. On the back of your sheet tonight, I want you to turn the sheet over. We'll fill the front out in just a few moments. But on the back of your sheet, you see two Greek words for the word word. These are the only two words for the word word in the Greek language. One is the word logos, and the other one is the word rhema. Let's say those two words together. Ready? Logos and? Do it again. Logos and? Okay. There's a difference between logos and rhema. The word logos in the Bible, whenever you see the Greek word for the word logos, is talking about the entire book, the Bible. Every word. In fact, let's look at some of those. John 1:1. In the beginning was the what class? The Word. That's the word logos, the whole thing. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at Luke 8:11. The seed is the what? Word of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the Word of life. Then also 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the logos, word. Rightly dividing the word of God. Study, he says. Something to be studied. It's, words mean things. A great way to study God's Word is to get a dictionary. Dictionaries will help you. Thesauruses will help you. A great thing to do is to get a Bible program. Ms. Brooks and I use a program called eSword. We like eSword. There are others. But you can actually click on the word and it will show you the Greek word or the Hebrew word if you're in the Old Testament. And it would define that word for you. And so, for the word of God is quick, Hebrews 4:12, and powerful. And then it goes on, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's talking about the whole word. Look at 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word or logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So this word that I hold in my hand, whenever we're talking about the whole thing, it's the word logos. Turn your paper back over and let me give you a few blanks here to think about. Number one, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Number two, the problem is with the soil. Or beside that, you could draw a heart or you could put the word heart. These are my notes. I wrote them out recently. Ms. Birch proofed them and I gave the preacher the wrong copy. So there's going to be a few things we have to change here. But nothing is wrong with the seed. Number two, the problem is with the soil or the heart. And then we're going to take and we're going to look through here in just a few moments and see some key points here about these different kinds of soil that the seed fell on. And we're going to learn a few things. Let's look at the first one if we can. The problem is found with the ground or the soil. The seed was sown on four different kinds of fields, or indiscriminately it was sown. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be for us. Amen. Indiscriminately. We ought to sow the seed to the rich and the poor. We ought to sow the seed to every race of mankind. Why? Because He wants every race to be saved. Amen. He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we ought to be leaky seed baskets for everybody. Everybody. The problem is always with the ground. And the first ground here is some of the seed fell by the wayside. In other words, verse 4 tells us here that this soil, this seed fell on the pathway. This seed fell where people walked. This seed fell in today's vernacular where the tractors went up and down the road. The circle around the field or right through the middle of the field. This is a well-trodden part or trampled down part of the field. I call it the wayside soil. The seed that never reached the heart. Because maybe a bird came and got it. Maybe it rained and floated away. But it never took root. It never took root in the heart. I believe some people get up in the morning and they started a habit to read through the Bible in a year's time. And they try to cram verses and cram verses and cram verses and read and read. And then they close the Bible and go about their day. And I'm not speaking of getting saved right now, but I'm speaking of the fact that God wants to speak to you. He's got something to say to you today. He put a brand new you on the inside. He put a brand new leader there. He put the Holy Spirit there. He put the seed of the Word of God inside of you. And He wants to speak to you. He's got a word for you. But all we did was, well, I read the Bible, Logos. Okay, where's the Rhema? Where's the Rhema that God has for you? I'm trying to help us help hurting people, okay? What changes lives? I already said it tonight. The Word of God. Right? The Word of God, not the Word of Ben Burks. My words don't change anybody. My words don't even change me. But God's Word changes lives. So, one practice that we could have every single day is get up every morning and realize that God wants to speak to me. If I have this agape love that He wants to give to me, and I have this relationship, and I'm in His family, I'm one of His children, I'm bought with a price, I'm part of the Beloved, I'm in the family. And Daddy, Papa, Abba, Father wants to speak to me. He's got a word for me. But by faith, do I get it? By faith, do I reach out and take it? I honestly believe that every day you should be able to ask any growing Christian, hey, what did God say to you today? What's God's word for you today? One of the most powerful things in the 20 years of helping hurting people was getting people to get up and spend time alone in God's Word and then to get a word from God. And you know what they do? They come back to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night and they start talking to other people about what God told them. You know, it's amazing how connected the mind is to the mouth. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You know why He said that in the same sentence? Because they're connected. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Where what you focus on expands. 2 years ago, I was scheduled to go to the Philippines. So before most people in the United States heard what was going on and how the shutdown was being impactful in America, I experienced it probably one of the first because I had a flight. And the Philippines is one of the first countries to shut things down where you couldn't get in. And so my first flight was canceled within like a week and a half of this whole thing happening in China. It was not even any cases in the U.S. yet. And already I had a cancellation. And so it had my attention. But I can be honest, it got more of my attention as the next trip canceled, and the next one, and the next one. And then all of a sudden I'm doing Zoom calls and Zoom preaching in Canada and the Philippines and different places because I couldn't travel. And there were times during COVID where I didn't guard my heart. And I'd listen to the news, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox. Fox was no better than CNN. CNN was no worse than Fox. I'm just telling you. Listen, did we not have a perfect illustration 2 years ago that what you focus on expands? And I still today know people who have not yet left their house except to go to the doctor 2 years later. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm not talking about people who have big health issues. I'm talking about people that are healthy, but they're scared to death. Listen to this statement. Where you focus, you follow. Where you focus, that's where you follow. The other day, I was in a store with Tony, one of my friends, and he knows the lady, and she gave me a testimony. She's a Christian, and Tony is a recovered alcoholic, and he quit smoking. And he told her about smoking and several years ago. Well, this woman got convicted. She said, "Do you think I could quit?" And he said, "Absolutely, you could quit." So he started giving her some verses and he started talking to her. And this woman quit smoking. And so he would check on her every time he would go to Home Depot and check on the girl and see how she's doing. This time he says, "Are you going to church Sunday?" No, we're flying to Vegas. "What are you going to do in Vegas?" "Oh, I got gambling. You know, I got some money to win." And so Tony's like, "Oh, do I have to start on that now?" You know, and he said, "Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to?" And then we sit there for 10 minutes. And he's talking to this woman about wasting her money. You know? And she's like, oh, no, no, I don't do that. I set money aside for that. He says, be honest with me. Has there ever been a time where you went and did it and you went beyond the money that you set aside? And she smiled and laughed. She said, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. You know why? Because where you focus, you follow. My wife's parents lived down in Natchez, Mississippi, and there was a riverboat. And that riverboat was a gambling casino. And people would leave the riverboat because they wasted all their money, and they would go up on the Mississippi Bridge, and they would jump off, commit suicide, and kill themselves. So much so, they looked for preachers. They carved out a room in the boat that was going to be the chaplain's office, so that when they robbed them of all their money, before and they were emotionally distraught, they would send them to the chaplain's office to get help. And by the way, do you know who pays for all the big billboards about the dangers of gambling? The riverboat casino paid for them. But they know one thing, that if I can just keep people focused on, you can win this time, you can win this time, you can win this time. Here's what you're going to do. You can put another dollar down, another dollar down, another dollar down. That's the way it is with all addictions, is their focus is there. Some people get a paycheck, and because they're crack cocaine addicts, they got to go, and they would get nervous because this is what I do every time I get a paycheck. Where you focus, you follow. What you focus on expands. So don't you think it'd be wise to determine what you're going to think about instead of letting the news channel tell you what to think about? Or the big gossip person in town just going to determine what you think about? Or Facebook determine what you think about? Amen? And here's two thoughts I want to give you. The first one is understand that God has a word for you every single day in His Word that He wants to speak to you. It's called a rhema. Look at on the back of your paper here. Let's take a pause for a moment. And let's go to the back. The rhema. What's the difference between the logos and the rhema? The rhema, the Greek word rhema, is a word that is spoken and means an utterance to you. He spoke it to you. A rhema is a verse or portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with application to the current situation, need, or direction. The current situation that you're in, the current need that you have, or the current direction that He wants you to go. And God wants to speak those truths into your life and my life. Look at Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, what's the next word? It's the word rhema. It's not this. It's not logos. It's that. This is what God told me today. This is what I'm meditating on today. This is the verse I dissected and defined today. This is what God showed me today. This is what God... We're supposed to be growing from grace to grace. You know how we started the thing of grace? We started by grace through faith. Amen? God giving to me something I don't deserve. And how did I receive it? By faith. Okay? So if we're supposed to grow from grace to grace, how do we get to the next grace? By faith. Not by works, by faith. Faith is not a work, Romans 4:5 tells us. It's not a work. Oh, faith demonstrates a work, but the person doing the work is not you and me, it's Christ in you and me. The good definition that I heard for the word faith is this. It is, help me, Ms. Burks. It is my response. Faith has a responsibility. It is my response to His ability. It's me responding not to what I can do, but what He can do. That's what faith is. And so as I'm reading the Word of God, if by faith I believe God wants to speak to me. He spoke to me the day I got saved, 1976. I've got His Word. His Word is quick. His Word is powerful. His Word is relevant. It's more relevant today than the newspaper was. It's more relevant today than all the talk shows were. And the relevant Word of God, He's got something in there for me. And I'm going to get up, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to, by His Spirit, communing with my spirit, I'm going to find it by faith. And then I'm going to say, okay, there it is. That's what He gave me. And I'm going to receive it by faith. If there's action to do with that, that's all by faith. It's not me doing the work, it's God doing the work through me. It's Him giving me, by faith I receive it, and I believe it, and I even talk about it, and then I take that step, or I go soul winning, or I take that action, but it's not me that's doing it, it's Christ in me that's doing it. Does that make sense? So every day, Rhema, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Look at Luke 5. This is the men in the boat. Jesus just finished preaching. They fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus says, come on guys, let's go out a little further. They go out a little further and He says to them, let down the nets. And Peter says, Master, Luke 5:5, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, Peter was the king of the docks. Peter was the guy who knew fishing well. He could have said a whole lot more. But look at the next word he says. We fished all night, we caught nothing. What's the next word? Same word Jesus used this morning. How about that? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Because watch me. The only reason that I'm doing this right now is because you just told me to. It's not because it's the right kind of time of day. It's not because we got the right bait. It's not because the water temperature is right. The only reason. By the way, that's enough. That's reason enough for us to do what we do. But instead we choose every other reason to do what we do instead of the real reason why we ought to do what we ought to do. It's because God told me to. The Rhema Word of God. Look at Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema. A little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. God's got one for you today. Did you go get it, or did you leave it on the table? Well, Brother Burks, I'm a good Christian. I memorize Scripture. Man, I put it all up here. Yeah. But if you go to the grocery store and go buy all the groceries and you bring them home and put them in the cupboard, but you never pop the top on them, you never open them up, and you never put them on the table, you're going to starve to death. Memorizing Scripture is like putting it in the cupboard. It's got to get in the heart. It's got to be received, taken by faith. Does that make sense? Look at Ephesians 6:17. Take this Ephesians 6, all about spiritual warfare. And we, your preacher's right, we are in a spiritual warfare right now in America and the world. I can say this with great boldness. The time when Jesus is coming back and the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those who remain and call up in the air and together forever we're going to be with the Lord, I promise you, it is later than it's ever been. I'm not saying it's tomorrow, I'm not saying it's next week, but I can promise you it's later than it's ever been. And it sure seems closer than it's ever been. I remember when I was a kid, rumblings with Russia and rumblings of war. But when you start hearing Russia and China and all that kind of stuff, you mark it down. They are in the... God's Word has told us they are large and in charge in the last days. Keep your eyes focused. Amen? Look at Ephesians 6. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the... What's the next word? Yeah, the Rhema. God's got one for you concerning the spiritual warfare. That's what Jesus used when the devil came to Him and tempted Him on the mount. Look at Luke 1:38. Mary said, this is Mary, Jesus' mother. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy Rhema. Let it happen to me, Lord, just like You said it would. Whatever You say. If You abide in me and my words, Rhema, abide in You. Today's word. The one that speaks to the situation and the need and the current situation and the direction and the word that He had. The one that you say, I believe that God told me this. I believe God gave me this. Ms. Burks and I went through a great trial not even a year ago. A difficult, difficult situation. And right on the onset of that, Ms. Burks was in her Bible and God gave her a verse. Talking about a new thing that I'm going to do. And I listened to her say that. I listened to her talk about that a few times. And I said to her, I said, where's that verse again? I said, I need to borrow that. And I believe God used that verse in my life. I took that. Her faith encouraged me. And I took faith in that verse. God's doing a new thing. Well, look and see. He's going to show it to you. Every day, wake up looking for the word that God has for you. Amen? Write it down. Carry it with you. Talk about it. Think about it. Because the connection between the mind and the mouth, the more that you talk about it, the more settled it gets in your mind. The more concrete it gets in your mind. Amen? The second thing I've got at the bottom of page, turn your page over. We're not going to get done with all those, but turn it over. I'm going to give you the second application and we'll finish the blanks. The second application is not just the daily in the Word, but number two, the preaching of God's Word. I believe God wants to use the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. People that are wise with the wisdom of this world, they need the wisdom of God. And that may be you, that may be me in some area of our life. We think we're right. We always think we're right. Well, we might be wrong. And so God wants to use the preaching of God's Word to help us. And so every time you hear a sermon, how many times do we come to church and the preacher preaches and we close our Bibles and we go home and somebody asks us on Monday, hey, what did the preacher preach on? Man, it's hard work trying to figure out what the preacher preached on. And what that does speak to this fact, it speaks that you didn't get a rhema from God in the church service. I did something foolish a couple years ago. My pastor, the pastor I was a member of the church in, my pastor had a man that came and he would come every year. And when this man would come from Ireland, I could not understand him. I mean, his accent, I had a very difficult time understanding the words because he spoke in a different accent, you know. And so I'm sitting in church, and my pastor's out of town, and I'm sitting in church. I'm trying to listen to this guy, and I get my phone out real quick, and I send my pastor a text. I'm stupid. I mean, it's not very smart, you know, when you're supposed to listen to a sermon, you send pastor a text message, you know. And I'm just carnal, you know. And I send him a text message, you know. And at the end of the text message, I put, and by the way, I can't understand a word this guy's saying, you know. And my pastor sent me a text back. Man, I mean, it was so quick. He said, Ben Burks, put your phone up and listen because God wants to speak to you and God's able to use every distraction there and still give you His Word. Man, I was smote in my heart. Since then, when I listen to God's Word, I can show you on my iPad last Sunday the church I was in and I was not preaching last Sunday. I was visiting a church, and I could show you the sermon. I could show you what I believe was God's Word to me. It'd be wonderful. In fact, I say it here at the bottom. Read God's preaching. Read God's Word spoken to you and how the Holy Spirit is applying His Word in 2022. You want all things to become new in 2022? I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you could do right now is you could get a notebook or an iPad or an iPhone or a notepad online or offline, whatever you want to do it, but find somewhere that every sermon you hear in 2022, you're going to write down the title of the message, who preached it, and then the verse that God used to speak to your heart. What was God saying to you during this morning service? What was God saying to you during Sunday school service? What was God saying to you tonight? Because God wants to speak to you. Now remember, there's a connection between the head and the heart. I want the seed to fall on good ground here. So I'm trying to give you, we're covering point number four. We'll get there in a little bit. But point number four is there is much fruit. There's going to be much fruit if this seed can land on the soil of your heart. Amen? And let it grow. And you start talking about it. You start telling people at work. Or better yet, find that one person at work that you say, hey, can we get together every Tuesday during lunch and just talk about the things of God a little bit? Maybe they go to church. Maybe they don't go to church. But you get together and you share with them a little outline that you took on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and you share with them the word that you got. I went to the Philippines several years ago, three years ago now, and I went to General Santos. General Santos is where Doug Sisson is the pastor. Y'all know Doug Sisson at all? Doug Sisson is the pastor. Is that the name? Yeah, Doug Sisson. And in Doug Sisson's area, there's a man named Manny Pacquiao. Do y'all know who Manny Pacquiao is? Manny Pacquiao is a Philippine boxer. Hopefully, he'll be the next president of the Philippines in just a few months. He's running for president. We ought to pray that he gets it. He's a Christian man, and he believes in the Lord, and he speaks things about the Lord, and we ought to be praying for that. We want Manny Pacquiao to be the president of the Philippines. That'd be awesome. And so anyway, the pastor's son is Manny Pacquiao's business manager. So he travels with him. He watches over his schedule. He's with him every day nearly, you know. And so I flew into General Santos, and the preacher picked me up, and it was on a Wednesday, and Wednesday night I went to church, and we finished on Wednesday night. I was mesmerized by one wall it was a gymnasium. It had walls up the sides, but the back and the front did not have a wall. So you could look outside here, and look, part of the front you could look out, but most of it was a backdrop for the stage. But on this wall, I begin to look, and I mean, as high as that is, or if not higher, because it was also used for a gymnasium, there was names in about this big of a print. And the whole wall had people's names on it, had a location on it, and had some statistics. How many people, how many salvations, how many people came to church. And I asked the pastor after church, I said, what is that? He said, oh, that's our wall of Bible studies going on in our city. I'm like, preacher, there's at least 500 on there. He said, yeah, they all go on every single week. And by the way, there's 740 on there. I'm like, you're telling me you have 745 Bible studies in the Philippines, in this area, every single week? He said, yeah. I said, who does them? He said, well, you're going to do some of them tomorrow. I didn't know I was going to do 25 of them the next day. He said, our people do those. Our people take notes on Sunday and they have Bible studies in these businesses and churches and schools and neighborhoods. And the next day I woke up. He's right. I got with six other men. We had a loudspeaker system. A couple places we didn't need to use it. The first place we went was the mansion that Manny Pacquiao was building. It was a compound. Several houses and big old walls around all the houses. And we went in there and they blew this gigantic horn. It was like 7:30 in the morning. People had already been working an hour or so. They blew a horn. Everybody came to the middle. They already had a sound system set up. And they sang some songs. I walked up. I opened God's Word and I preached and people got saved. I mean, it was 100 people there. I finished that. I got back in the car. I rode 35, 40 minutes down the road. We went to the seashore. And we went to where Manny Pacquiao had another group of workers building a yacht. And we stopped there, and the guy got out and went to talk to the foreman, and it was that time for Bible study for that day, and they pulled everybody together. A big horn went off, and they all came together, and they introduced the white man, and this guy preached, and more people got saved. We went to a jail. We went to a prison. We went to three schools. I mean, just, I was dumbfounded. I mean, I went back to my room that night and I wept. I think I called my wife and I said, "What in the world have we been doing in America for the last three decades? What have we been doing?" And I don't mean that we need to replicate what they're doing, but we need the Word to take root in our soul and affect what words are coming out of our mouth. And that may be a Bible study at work started in 2022, a new thing. That may be a Bible study started in a Christian, in a public school. That would be a new thing. And God wants to do some new things with His Word. Amen. It may be to find out who those homeless ladies are and who runs that place and how we can impact that place for Christ. A new thing. But it's going to take people that have a good soil. They're not going through the motions. They're not just being repetitive. Rote is the word. Well, open your bone book, let's sing. It's time to do this. It's time to rote. We go through the motions. God says, "I want to mix it up every day. I got a new word for you." I'm not saying don't be faithful. I'm just saying God's got a word for you. And He's got a new something going on inside of you. Because the old is passing away and the new is new. It's happening. Amen. And it has something to do with this book. Let me give you the things on the front and we're going to be done. Number one, letter A, the wayside soil. The seed never reached the heart. Letter B, the stony soil. It fell on stony ground. Look, there was a little bit of earth there, okay? But underneath that earth was a solid bedrock. We saw that when we were in the Philippines. Our tour guide, we were around him one day, and we were on the trip to Dan. We were walking. The longest day we walked a lot of miles that day. And he was kicking some of the ground. And when he kicked it, it was a solid rock. He said, "That's the way a lot of the ground is here. It looks like good soil, but the reason nothing's growing there is because there's nothing but a bedrock underneath it." And that's where this soil fell. And underneath that, the seed with the deeper issues. There's a focus on the problems. Write that on the blank. A focus on the problems. And so many people don't get help because they're just focused on the problems. They're not focused on the solution. They're not focused on the help that they can get. Help comes from the Lord. But somehow to get their minds and eyes lifted off of themselves and what they're going through, they don't see it. They don't see it. So this stony ground, stony soil. Let her see the seed that falls among thorns. Oh boy, those thorns are there, but things come up and grow up around them and choke that out. That means they're preoccupied with other things. There are people that they like what I'm saying tonight. They know that maybe God's Word spoke to you a while ago and you're like, "Man, I need to get God's Word every day. I need to get a Word from God." But unfortunately, there's other things in your life in the morning time that it's going to choke it out. It's not going to happen. It's going to be just words running water off a duck's back. It's going to just roll right off. Something else is going to come up alongside of it. Let me say this. Very important statement. The unimportant things in your life, the important things of your life never clamor for your time. You hear me? The most important things in your life never clamor for your time. I mean, I've never met anybody that all of a sudden in the morning, somebody woke up and the Bible slapped them in the face and said, "Get out of bed and get in that Word." Didn't do it. But nothing's more important than that. Nothing's more important than that. your relationship to your spouse. Spending time with her. Spending time on dates. But you know, there's a lot that gets in our lives that chokes all that out. Chokes it out. There's a difference between having the seed that grows in the heart. But I think sometimes we think that we're this and that and the other, and we're not. And we need to be confronted with the mirror. We need to be confronted with truth. I was with a couple this week, and their marriage has been on the rocks since COVID. And they were sharing with us how they're getting through this difficult season in the marriage. And Amy, the wife, sorry, I didn't even mean to give the name, but she said, I told him, and she spoke real harsh truth to him. And he just kind of looked at her and listened. And he says, I don't want to be that way. Help me, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to come across like that. And that was a transforming moment in that marriage. Husbands, your wives ought to be able to speak truth into you. She's not just supposed to shut up and do what you say do. Amen. God's Word speaks truth into you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Your wife ought to be your friend. She's more than just your wife. She's your sister in Christ. That husband's your brother in Christ. There's more relationships than just one. We get selfish if we get focused on just one. But God's Word is, man, it just seems to help all that. When we're humble and being receptive and we want it. And we want to change. And we want to be all that He wants me to be. So preoccupied with other things. And lastly, the good soil. I want you to write, scratch out that word, because that the seed that never reached the, just scratch that out. It was a copy and paste error. And I want you to write this thought down. Hear it, receive it, repeat it. Hear it, receive it, repeat it. Hear it, receive it, repeat it. Hear it, take it in, and then find some people to repeat it to. Talk about it. Tell my wife, Toby, shared the verse with me this morning. Yesterday we shared verses together. Repeat those words. We're talking about helping hurting people. We have concluded there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is with the hearts. And because we don't know those hearts, let's make sure our heart is receiving the Word. Let's not be hearers only. Father in heaven,